This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Fortinet. Fortinet's partnership with AWS is a better together combination that ensures your workloads on AWS are protected by best-in-class security solutions powered by comprehensive threat intelligence and more than 20 years of cybersecurity experience. Integrations with key AWS services simplify security management, ensure full visibility across environments, and provide broad protection across your workloads and applications. Visit them at AWS Reinforce to see the latest trends in cybersecurity on July 25th to 26th at the Boston Convention Center. Just go over to the Fortinet booth and tell them Corey Quinn sent you and watch for the flinch. My thanks again to my friends at Fortinet. Welcome to the Last Week in AWS podcast on Tuesday due to the federal holiday. Huzzah. Let's get right to it and see what AWS has broken this time. Amazon EC2 auto-scaling announces increased auto-scaling group default limit per account. The default limits are wild to me because some services seem aligned with making sure that a free tier user doesn't accidentally get charged for something, whereas others seem a lot more intense, and this is a good example of the latter, because the limit for auto-scaling groups in your account has now gone from 200 to 500. Free tier friends, don't do this. You won't like the bill. AWS Cloud Shell is available in AWS GovCloud regions. I started to see how this compared to other companies and discovered that Azure is gonna Azure, because in 2021, they mentioned that in Azure Government, there is no equivalent to Azure Cloud Shell that you can find in the Azure portal. That's their official docs. Yet, back at the start of 2020, they did an entire video about Azure Cloud Shell in Government. Left hand, meet right tentacle. AWS Database Migration Service now supports VPC source and target endpoints. They've done it. They have actually done it. There's now a supported AWS service that doesn't require dark magic to ensure that your traffic passes through not one, but two managed NAT gateways for double the expensive pain. AWS SAM Accelerate is now generally available. Quickly test code changes against the cloud. I've been using this for a bit myself, and I didn't realize that it hadn't gone generally available yet. How handy. AWS support announces an improved create case experience. I discovered this before reading the release because I'm seeing something odd in my account that I can't explain. I'm going to hold off until I get a resolution before I talk about this one publicly, just because every once in a while, these things have security implications. That said, the experience is a definite improvement. Announcing general availability of Amplify UI for React. I dread having to get back into React, but this will be useful the next time I find myself there, invariably by accident. AWS CloudFormation template guidelines for AMI-based products in AWS Marketplace. How interesting. I was just talking the other day with someone about what the requirements are to list an AMI in the marketplace, and here's a post that explains it all. How handy. Migrate from Snowflake to Amazon Redshift using AWS Glue Python Shell. You may as well migrate in that direction via trained unicorns, since no customer I've ever spoken to has ever done it. Building a low-code speech you know counter using AWS step functions. The idea is neat, but the implementation here is unkind. As a public speaker, I worked like mad to get filler words out of my speech patterns, and I would have appreciated something like this. That said, having it positioned as something to run on other people's speech, because the suggested reference data as the AWS podcast, which features customer guests, well, that means that someone forgot the human somewhere. Imagine if I ran this on the reInvent keynotes coming up this December. People would say I was being nasty, that I was punching down, and they would be completely right. Public speaking is hard, and while I'm sure this article wasn't intended to be used as a stick with which to beat people, that's very much how it could be interpreted. Don't do this.
Let's face it, on-call firefighting at 2 a.m. is stressful. So there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is that you probably can't prevent incidents from happening, but the good news is that incident.io makes incidents less stressful and a lot more valuable. Incident.io is a Slack-native incident management platform. that allows you to automate incident processes, focus on fixing the issues, and learn from incident insights to improve site reliability and fix your vulnerabilities. Try incident.io to recover faster and sleep more.
Introducing the new AWS Step Functions Workflows Collection. Okay, this might get me to try Step Functions again. The last time I attempted it, I felt lost, confused, and without good references to get myself unstuck. Use AWS Nitro Enclaves to perform computation of multiple sensitive datasets. A neat dive through an underappreciated feature because Nitro Enclaves are aimed less at AWS isn't secure and more at you probably don't trust everyone at your company with all of the data at your company. Introducing bare metal deployments for Amazon EKS Anywhere. I'll have to get some hardware over here later this year and see what I can make of this because apparently they aren't even bothered to charge anyone for it yet. Leverage AWS secret stores from EKS Fargate with external secrets operator. The more I work with secrets and cloud offerings, the more convinced I am that people just give up and hard code them and then lie about it because secrets ops is full of terrible things. Jenkins, high availability and disaster recovery on AWS. Oh no. Are people still using individual Jenkins servers that are artisanally handcrafted instead of a managed service for their CI/CD stuff? Because this is terrifying. How Twitch built the global live streaming network that powers Amazon IVS. When you run Twitch's traffic numbers through a price calculator to see what it would cost to run Twitch at customer IVS pricing, you quickly realize they are not doing that since it would bankrupt Amazon almost overnight. And finally, 400 Amazon CloudFront points of presence. I used to track these on the map above my desk, and these days they're just too many for it to be particularly interesting or actionable. So instead, now I just track regions and announced but not yet online regions. It's sort of Adam Selipsky's way of teaching me remedial geography. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. Stay salty.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.